Good morning, everybody. Good morning. If we've not met before, my name is Stee, and it's really good to see you here today. So the question that we've just been asking is it coming home? It's what's something you learned as a child that has stayed with you for life? So any answers? Don't touch the oven. Like ever, or you mean when it's hot? Yeah. Don't eat yellow snow. Okay. You don't want to spoil anything for anyone over here. Leah? Money doesn't grow on trees, if only. Any more? What was that, sorry? The gospel. Amazing, amen. Well, my answers are going to seem a little bit insignificant now compared to that last one, but anybody learn how to ride a bike? Learn how to swim?
Yes.
Tie your shoelaces?
Yes.
Blow your nose?
Yes.
Some people didn't learn how to do that as a child. Apparently, only came as an adult. Playing table tennis?
Yes.
Yeah. Please continue to pray for Jordan, everyone. I won't go into it, but last Sunday was a tough time for him. But he did want me to just remind you all that he is financially stable. Anybody learn as a child how to look both ways when you cross the road? Yeah, important to learn. Brushing your teeth? Anyone learn how to play an instrument? Once you've learnt it, you don't just simply forget it, do you? It changes the way you live, these different things. And that's exactly what we've been believing for over the last 12 weeks. That's what we've been asking God to do in our lives, as we've been believing him for more. And a bit like learning to ride a bike, the goal isn't simply just to take the stabilizers off. The goal is the freedom that that then gives you afterwards. Once you've learned to ride your bike, you don't put the bike away forever because the lesson's then over. What do? You keep riding. And that's what we've been believing God for through this series called There Must Be More. And these last 12 weeks, they've not been an end into themselves. Hopefully, they've been something where God has been transforming us all in different ways. And really, those things that God has been transforming us in, those habits that he's been putting into our lives, there's something for us to take from today as we finish this series and to take into the rest of our lives, believing God for more freedom over our lives. We want to keep growing. We want to become more like Jesus. And so in this final part of the series, here's what we're going to be believing God for today. Life. Everybody say life.
Life.
We're believing God that there must be more life. Some of Jesus' most famous words are quoted for us by one of his followers called John in the Gospel of John. And Jesus said this. He said, the thief's purpose, this is in John 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. He's talking about Satan. He's talking about the enemy. But then Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Does anybody long for that over your life? A rich and satisfying life. Your version, if you have your Bible with you, might say life in all its fullness. It might say abundant life. Jesus isn't simply talking here about just existing. He's talking about a different kind of life, a different kind of life that's on offer, that the world offers us. It's talking about life that comes through God's presence in our lives, life that isn't controlled by fear, life where hope is stronger than despair, life that overflows through us to the world around us. That's the life that Jesus came to give. And so today, here's what my prayer is for us all, and here's what I want to ask you to join in praying with me. Breath of God, breathe new life. If you are longing for that today and believing for that today, will you just pray it with me? Breath of God, breathe new life. Throughout this season of believing God for more, we have felt like we're on the edge of something. It's hard to put into words what that something is that we feel like we're on the edge of. But it feels to us that we're on the cusp of seeing prayers answered that have been prayed for generations. Prayers over this church by faithful men and women who have given their lives and dedicated their lives to seeing and believing God to move here in this community. I wonder if you've ever stopped for a moment to think about the number of prayer meetings that have taken place here or in the church's previous physical locations, about the many men and women who have sowed prayers, believing for the days that we are even living in right now. Some of you have been praying those prayers for 50, 60 years as part of this church community. Others have traveled from around the country to come and live in this corner of the world, and from other nations have come to be part of this church community. And somehow, God has brought together all of our stories. Thank you, Gabe. Let's hear it for Gabe. Somehow, God has brought all of our stories together to be here right now in this moment. And over the last 77 years of this church's existence, this church has seen God do some incredible things, some amazing stories of God's provision, incredible stories of God's healing, countless lives that have been transformed by Jesus, many who are still part of this church today who came to salvation here. God has brought great rescue for people. God has made this place an amazing refuge. There are family trees that once seemed destined for brokenness. That was the only outlook upon the next generation in families. But God has rewritten those family trees by bringing his abundant life, life in all its fullness, into people's hearts and lives so that generations have been changed and transformed. And that's the life that only Jesus can bring. And so today as a church, we stand or we sit on the shoulders of incredible faith that has been sown into this place, into this community, for generations. And we thank God today for all that has been, don't we? We thank God for all that he has done. And today, we join in with those generational prayers. And together, we speak once again, breath of God, would you breathe your life into this community? And as we find ourselves here on the edge of what we believe God is doing and something special, if God has been preparing us over these last 12 weeks, if God has been softening our hearts, if God has been teaching us, then the question becomes this: what is he preparing us for? Just turn to somebody and say, what is God preparing us for? Just so I can take a drink. I think that there's a man in the Bible called Ezekiel. Say hi to Ezekiel, everybody. He's going to appear on the screen. Now, I couldn't find any photos of him from when he was alive, so this is an artist's impression of him. But I think that Ezekiel gives us a picture of this. Over the last couple of months, I really felt like God has been speaking to me from the life of Ezekiel. And if you've never read the book of Ezekiel before, it's in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with his story, then don't worry. Let me catch you up with a brief overview of his life to the point that we will be at today. Ezekiel lived 600 years before Jesus. And he was a priest from Jerusalem. And he was a priest at a time when actually things were going really badly for Jerusalem. Everything familiar to Ezekiel and his contemporaries had fallen apart. And God's people has been defeated by the Babylonian Empire. And what's come of that is that Jerusalem, the city, the capital of Israel and Judah, it's been destroyed. And many of the people, including Ezekiel, had been taken hundreds of miles away into exile. Now, for some of us here today, this doesn't take much imagination at all, because you've had to leave your home, leave your community, maybe even leave the place that was so precious to you, your place of worship. But for those of us that haven't experienced that, imagine losing everything that felt familiar. That is where we find Ezekiel. And it's in the middle of that loss and that uncertainty and that longing for home and that groaning for home that God places a new calling upon Ezekiel. And he calls Ezekiel to be a prophet to his people, to speak God's message. Now, whilst Ezekiel was living in exile in Babylon, God began giving him some extraordinary visions of hope, visions of renewal, visions of restoration, and visions of new life. And that's why I think Ezekiel and these prophecies that God spoke to him have something to say to us today. Because this message isn't just for ancient Israel. When we read these prophecies speak to the very heart of who God is. They speak to the fact that God brings life where there is death. They speak to the fact that God brings hope where there is despair. And they speak to the fact that God brings restoration, where perhaps in our physical sight we can only see brokenness. And I think what we're about to read paints a picture of something of what God has been doing among us as a church over these last few months. And so if you have a Bible, turn with me to Ezekiel 36, and we're going to be in verses 25 to 27. It's going to come up on the screen behind me if you haven't got one with you. It says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put in you a new spirit. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Now, what we've just read there is very much language of transformation. It's the language of God and what he does when he changes us from the inside out. And our mission as a church, if you're not aware, is simply to become more like Jesus. And I think that's exactly what God has been doing among us over these last 12 weeks. Let me just give you something of a recap. If you're here for the first time today, let me explain to you what's been happening. As we've made space for confession way back in week one, and then things like stillness, and then we've been journeying through forgiveness, many of us have experienced God's mercy over our lives in fresh ways. Some of us have felt the weight of guilt and shame be lifted off. As we've learned together what it means to worship, we've discovered that when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we change our perspective from the earthly things around us, what happens is that the earthly things that we're consumed with, they just begin to lose their grip on us. As we've experienced and explored what it means to dive more into God's word and community and learning to focus on God, he's changing our hearts. And that's what God promises will happen through this prophet Ezekiel to his people when we begin just to turn our lives to God. He says, "I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you." Now, after God spoke these words to Ezekiel, he gave Ezekiel just what I think can only be described as a remarkable vision. A vision that showed what God can do when he breathes life into something that looks beyond hope. And I believe that this vision isn't just for Ezekiel's generation. I believe God wants to speak through it to us today. And so if you turn in your Bible one page or click the next button to the next chapter, we're going to go to Ezekiel 37. And here's the vision that God gave Ezekiel. It says this. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out." Pause here for a moment. And I want you to take a moment. Maybe close your eyes. And just imagine for a moment what Ezekiel is seeing. A valley of dry bones. Bones that had been there for so long that they looked completely beyond hope. There's no life in this valley. And I wonder today, is there an area of your life that feels a bit like that valley of dry bones? Maybe you've never known what it is. You can open your eyes, by the way. But maybe you've never known what it is to walk with Jesus. And you've searched for life in many different ways through trying to find success, trying to find relationships, money, achievement, or simply just trying to be happy. But there's something in you that you know just still feels empty. Maybe there was a time when you felt close to God, but today you just feel distant. You feel like the joy has gone and the passion has faded. And if you're honest, everything within you just feels dry. Maybe that valley today is your marriage, or it's your family, or it's your own health, or your finances, a relationship that's broken, a dream that you once longed for, but it just feels like it's died. Something that you've stopped praying about because you've convinced yourself that nothing will ever change. And if any of that resonates with you today, stick with this, because this valley that we've just read about is not the end of the story. And that valley that you might find yourself in today, it doesn't need to be the end of your story. Read on with me, because hope is coming. It says this in verse 3. "Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.'" God asks Ezekiel one simple question. As you look at this valley of dry bones, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel doesn't say yes, and he doesn't say no. And I like that. What he does is he says, "God, only you know." Because if we're honest, when we look at the dry bones in our life, when we look at those areas that just feel like they're dead, it's really hard to believe that they can come to life again. And you might be here today, and as I've mentioned, those valleys of dry bones in your life, you might be thinking, "But Steve, there's no hope in the valley that I'm in." And I hear you, but I want you to hear, God knows the answer. And with God, the answer is always to bring life. Life in all its fullness. Maybe you feel broken and beyond hope. And that thing that you've almost stopped praying about, you're here today. Can these bones live again? Let's see what happens next. "Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you alive again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, God tells Ezekiel to do something that must have sounded completely ridiculous. Put yourself in that valley, a valley full of dry bones, and God says to Ezekiel, speak life into those bones. Not because the bones could hear him, but because God was about to do something that only God can do. And here's what I love about this story. God chooses to partner with Ezekiel. He chooses to use him in this moment to speak life. And as Ezekiel obeys, even though he has no idea what's about to happen, in a few moments, I believe we're going to see that God wants to do something similar through our lives today. We're going to begin to speak life over the valleys in our own lives. Because we believe in a God who brings life, don't we, church? I know it's hot. I know we're tired. But do we believe in a God that brings life? Do we believe in a God that wants to breathe life into the valley of dry bones in our lives? Yeah? I think it's rising. Come on. Let's have that step of faith together today. But I know what you're thinking. But Steve, these bones haven't come to life yet. Well, stick with me. Because let's see what happens next. Ezekiel spoke the message. Just as God told him, suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. And the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies. But they still had no breath in them. So we see Ezekiel obeys the message that God gave him to speak, and he speaks it out over the dry bones, and suddenly life begins to appear. Can you imagine standing there and watching this happen? I can't. It's amazing, isn't it? And we're told that this happened suddenly. And there's something I've learned about that word suddenly when it comes to God. Because what looks like a sudden move of God very often is rooted in years of pain and hurtful prayers and cries out to God as we're longing for God to move. But what happens is that God just moves suddenly. And I wonder if some of us, over these last 12 weeks, have begun to hear the rattling, that rattling noise of God on the move. Maybe you've begun to notice God at work in ways that you just can't quite explain. And for some of you, that's what's brought you here today. You weren't looking for God, but he's just been gently making himself known in your life. And first, it was an invite from a friend or a family member to come to church. And then what's happened is you've begun to just see answers to prayer. You've begun to see God move in strange and mysterious ways. And something's just started to change. For others, you've seen signs of hope in a relationship that once felt broken. You've begun to see and hear the moving of God in your family, in your health, in your children, in prayers that you've carried for years. And you've started to hear the rattling of the dry bones come together. And you've started to see the bones come together. But notice where we finished reading those verses there. The bodies are formed, but there's still no breath. And that's where I feel like we're on the edge of something with God. Over these last 12 weeks, God has been shaping us, and he's been changing us, and he's been teaching us to depend on him, and he's been giving us new rhythms to draw us closer to depending on him and to be in relationship with him. He's been preparing us as a church, and he's been positioning us. But I can't shake this feeling that we're standing on the edge of something. But here's what we need. We need the breath of God to breathe life in the way that only He can do. And so let's see what happens at the end of this vision that Ezekiel has. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. We've sung it today. Let what's dead come to what? Life. It's the breath of God that brings transformation. And you know, from the very beginning of the Bible, it's the breath of God that brings things to life. God forms Adam from the dust of the ground. But it isn't until God breathes life into him that he truly comes alive. Hundreds of years later, Ezekiel gets this vision for Jerusalem that it will be restored, that God will breathe life afresh and anew. But what happens? How does life come? It's when God breathes his life. And then hundreds of years later, once again, we see Jesus in the tomb, dead and buried, dry bones. What happens? God breathes his resurrection life and he comes to life. And then at Pentecost, we see this frightened group of followers hiding behind locked doors. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, as the breath of God comes into them, they're transformed. They become this bold community who carry the good news of Jesus to the world. The same God, the same breath, the same power that brings life. And that same God wants to breathe life into us afresh and anew today. Into our lives, into our families, into our church, into our communities. I don't know if you've noticed the pattern of this conversation between God and Ezekiel, but it goes something like this. God says, "Speak," and Ezekiel speaks. God says, "Speak," and Ezekiel speaks. Ezekiel simply does what God is asking him to do. He trusts God just enough to obey, to speak life. And then God responds by breathing life, and the valley begins to change. And that's what I believe that we're being invited to do today, to bring God before those things, those places that feel like the valleys of dry bones in our lives, and to speak life, his life, over them, trusting that he is still at work. Ezekiel says something in this vision at the end that it's really easy to miss, but it's just these simple words. They all came to life and stood up. I find that really powerful, because it isn't just the case that he brought these bones together. It's not just the case that he breathed life into them. It's that they became a powerful army, stood up on their feet. And so I wonder today, will you stand if you're able to? And I'm going to invite the band back. And as we stand together, we're believing that we want to be a people of God who stand for the valleys of dry bones in our lives, who stand for the valleys of dry bones in our communities. And we're going to pray together in a moment. Holy Spirit, would you breathe your life into those valleys of dry bones? Just one last time in this series, we're going to pray this prayer together of stillness. And we're just going to take a moment to pause. And we're just going to take a moment to bring those valleys of dry bones in our lives before our Heavenly Father. And we're just going to be still. And so can we pray this together? Christ, I acknowledge you. Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ all around me, Christ within me. Let's just be still. This is a safe moment. It's not a moment where God wants you to feel overwhelmed by those dry bones, whatever that signifies, whatever that looks like for you. Because what we're going to do is we're going to begin to speak life. And as I've been seeking God this week, I just really believe that He's placed some valleys of dry bones for me to speak life over. But not just for me to speak life over, for all of us to speak life over. And so we've got this very simple prayer that we've practiced together already, but let's practice it one more time. I'm going to say in a moment some different valleys of dry bones. And each time when I speak them out, I'm going to say, together we pray. And then together we're going to say, breath of God, breathe new life. I'll be honest, I think we need a little bit more in us, some more faith. So together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. And so today, a spouse who doesn't yet, and I say yet, share your faith, together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. A marriage that has gone cold. A relationship that feels broken. The daily challenge of raising children and feeling like you're just running on empty. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. A financial situation that just feels beyond repair. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. An addiction that you just can't break. A sinful habit that's left you drowning in shame and guilt. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. The ache of loneliness and feeling abandoned, held back by fear of repeating past mistakes, overcome by anxiety for what the future holds. Together, Lord, we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. You're here today, and you're far from home, and you're separated from friends and family, and you're living with uncertainty. And you look on and you watch as your homeland is being torn apart by war, persecution, by just unbelievable evil. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. A diagnosis that has robbed you of your joy, and it's robbed you of your ability to see hope. And you're growing weary in this season of waiting. And you're wondering, how much longer can you hold on? Maybe you're here today and you're grieving the loss of someone that you love dearly. And you're wondering if life will ever feel the same again. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. Your walk with Jesus has grown cold. You've become distant from God, distracted and dry. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. Last one, a loved one who once walked with Jesus, but now they just feel so far away from God. That friend, that family member, that colleague, the person you've been praying for perhaps for years, longing for that day that they would know Jesus. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. Let's sing this together. In faith. We've spent 12 weeks asking God to change us. And so now, let's ask him to change the places that he has planted each and every one of us. Let's begin to pray these words over our community. And as I name each area, let's respond together. Again, you know how it goes by now. Breath of God, breathe new life. Let's pray for those who shape the next generation in our communities, for our schools, for our colleges, for our universities, teachers, support staff, governors, everyone investing in the lives of young people. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. Maybe in this moment, physically, you just want to reach out to our communities. Let's pray together for those who shape our communities, our counselors, our MPs, civil servants, businesses, journalists, creatives, performing arts, chaplains, hospitality industry, community leaders, everyone whose work influences our lives. Together, church, we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. For those who care for others, for doctors and nurses, carers, social workers, emergency services, solicitors, charities, for everyone protecting, serving, and caring for those in need. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. For those who share the hope of Jesus, for every church in our community, for every pastor, every leader, every volunteer, every faithful follower of Jesus, everyone sharing the hope and love for Jesus in our communities. Together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. For those places where darkness still lingers, every hidden injustice and every act of exploitation, every forgotten life, every home that needs the peace of God, every home and family that's in need of healing today, every generation, every place that's longing and in need of the light and life of Jesus, together we pray, breath of God, breathe new life. Today we speak life. We speak hope. We speak healing. We speak freedom. Church, will you begin to speak these words? Amen. These words of the kingdom over our communities. We speak love. We speak restoration. We speak salvation over every corner of our communities. We speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, you came that we might have life. Not just scraps of life. Not survival, but life in all its fullness. So today we pray, breathe on us again. Breathe on this church again. Breathe on these streets again. Until every valley of dry bones becomes a place, a people standing on their feet, we pray. For the glory of Jesus, we ask. And everybody says,
shout
amen.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Let's declare this church. Oh, and shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Shout the name of Jesus.